And good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis here in studio this morning. We've got our guest is Riley County Police Department Director Dennis Butler joining us. Thanks for being here.
Happy Friday. It's always good to be with you and Dave.
Glad you could make it in here. Of course, you were already here, I think, once this week for another program on our radio.
Yeah, last minute I was asked to come in on Monday with the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation to talk about our fundraiser that they are helping us with to purchase a large commercial-like smoker and grill for community outreach and recruiting.
Now, this is a really cool deal, and we will start here with this because it's such a neat idea, I think, and I've been happy to report that you've already had some really good fundraising for that.
We have. You know, what's really cool about this is these are activities we're already engaged in, so it's not a new risky idea that we think will work. We know this works already to go out into the community and offer smoked meat that our employees have been providing for several years, but we haven't been using our own equipment. We've always been borrowing it. So we know this will work, and we want to expand what we're doing in terms of going to more events and possibly using it for recruiting. But we think it's important that we have a proper piece of equipment that also has refrigeration and running water for sanitation. So we got a $10,000 donation from the Howe Family Foundation through we haven't collected it yet, but that's been made. So we've already met our fundraising goal in terms of trying to meet a minimum number to help subsidize this, but we really we're going to leave this open because we're hoping that the community will fund the entire project. And the project cost is about $25,000.
That's really cool. It's a neat endeavor. And, you know, you guys go to a lot of community events here. And I think I remember when you guys had the law board meeting in Leonardville, this was first brought up. And a lot of folks, when they see the police department out at about, they're a little hesitant to maybe come up and greet with you guys.
That's right. And the way we look at it, and it's not unique to the RCPD, but I brought this up, I think, Monday. What's one thing that we all have in common? We all consume food. And when we're providing free food to members of our community, it just breaks down barriers. When we set up recruiting booths, people can come up and they can collect information. But if we also have food to offer them, they may stay longer. We may have a more relaxed conversation, be able to talk about the services we provide, or employment opportunities for people who might be interested in working for us and serving their community.
Yeah, that's a key component there, because I remember at the last law board meeting, you have a lot of open jobs right now.
Mostly in dispatch. That's been a chronic issue since my arrival. We run on average about a 25% vacancy rate. So we are doing lots of things in putting together a recruiting, hiring, and retention plan. Some of the steps have been launched internally, and we're continuing to work on that. But we just had an interview process, and we had a lot of good candidates come. We haven't made any hires yet, but it looks very promising for now. The key is getting them on board and then hanging on to them.
Yeah. Well, and you know, with the outreach barbecue fundraiser here and eventually getting that, that's going to improve so much here with the relationship here between the community and the police department. I imagine another component of this would be maybe getting more people to report crime.
Oh, yeah, that's obviously, you know, a few months ago, we changed our protocols in how we release the names of victims. We typically don't do that now in most cases. And the driving force behind that were victims talking to me directly and to my officers saying that they were reluctant to report crimes because they didn't want their name publicized. They, in some cases, were embarrassed by the fact that they were crime victims. In some cases, they didn't want other people to know their business in those terms. And so I haven't been able to determine whether or not it has improved crime reporting. But we have another protocol that we've just launched on sexual assault that we definitely are doing in order to gain more victim reporting and cooperation.
And I've been, you know, I've been telling people here just out and about casually here, you know, we're going to see probably more news stories involving victims of sexual assault.
Yes, we launched an internal policy probably a little over a month ago, a couple of months ago. We refer to it as you have options. But what we call it publicly is Your Option, Your Control. And it provides three options for victims of sexual assault to report crimes. One is a complete investigation, just what you would see now. An investigator, evidence collection, sexual assault kits being completed when a victim agrees, to a partial investigation where a victim may come forward and say, this happened to me, this is who did it, but I don't want you to go talk to them. I don't want to submit to a sexual assault kit. Whatever they want is what we will agree to. But the less information we have, of course, it would intentionally stall the investigation at the request of the victim, and so nothing more would happen. And then an informal report called information only. This actually can be reported by a friend or a family member on behalf of a victim. It can be reported by an advocate. Excuse me. And in those cases, it's documenting the fact that something happened, but they really don't want to have any contact with us. Now, at some point on the partial and the information only, a victim can reengage us and say, okay, I'm ready. The reason why we're doing this is because sexual assault is a very traumatic event for victims. And not every victim is prepared immediately to engage fully in the investigative process. They may be going to counseling. They may be doing other things. There could be things happening in their life that just make it difficult for them to be fully engaged. And if we put pressure on them or we force them, it traumatizes them further, we believe, and through research we believe that. And if there's ever going to be a chance of holding the perpetrator accountable, we think caring for that victim from the outset in the way they're comfortable with matters more long-term, not only to holding a perpetrator accountable, but also by generating more reports. We know through blind or anonymous surveys that about 75% of sexual assault reports are never made. We know it's happening. So if this is successful, we actually expect to see our reports for sexual assault increase.
Yeah, well, and that's the overall goal here, is to get a crime that's traditionally underreported reported more often. I had somewhere I was going with this, and I lost my train of thought. Looks like we do have a caller here. I'll try to gather my thoughts, and let's take their question.
Sure.
Go ahead, you're on In Focus.
Am I on the radio?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I heard you discussing this, that you're going to do this, going to do that, we've changed from this, changed from that. My question is, and I've talked to a lot of females and males about this very subject, when somebody comes up 4, 5, or 6 years later and says, hey, I was sexually molested, I was da-da-da-da-da. Okay, so you go out and you find the person, you arrest, put their name in the paper. Would it not, and seriously, several ladies have said this, why don't you put the lady's name in the paper too? You're letting the guy through the ringer. He's innocent until proven guilty. He comes guilty in the paper. It's published in the paper. It's published on every place. I'm asking, do you think that it's fair that you stuff and cuff them and then put their name in the paper and don't put the lady's name in the paper? He's found not guilty, but it never gets retracted. I'll listen to your answer.
Well, you've raised two issues that require two answers. Number one, on victims of sexual assault, there's actually statutory language that permits us to not release the name of a victim in a sexual assault. And it's for many of the reasons I suggested earlier about why sexual assault victims often don't come forward or other victims don't come forward, because it causes them to be embarrassed. They don't want their personal life to be daily news. And so legislators recognize that as well. And so we're not required to release it. The second part of your question is about releasing the name of arrestees. And these are arrestees in any case, not just sexual assault. We have a very high standard when it comes to making arrests. Just because a person makes an allegation doesn't mean we walk right out, find the person, and lock them up. We have to conduct an investigation that is designed to identify and collect evidence, witnesses, and when we reach the point where we believe we have satisfied the probable cause threshold, we can make an arrest. Now, the burden of proof, obviously, in court is much higher, and that's beyond reasonable doubt. But I can tell you that police officers, when they arrest somebody, probable cause is the standard, but if they have doubts about the guilt of someone, police officers aren't going to arrest them just because we can. Most police officers, professionally trained and ethical police officers, aren't going to do that. And by law, we have to release their name at some point through proper request. Now, I don't have to voluntarily give it out right away, but if they file an open records request, then I have to release it. And that's how it works.
Yep. And should mention also that, you know, anytime it's their names are published, it's always alleged, until they're proven guilty in court.
That's right. And just one more point, even though a lot of media likes mugshots and photographs released, we don't do that for the very reasons you mentioned. I know their names out there, but we don't release their photograph until after they're convicted.
All right. Let's take a break. More with RCPD Director Dennis Butler when we return on News Radio KMAN.